will do. We've come to seek your face, to know your grace. We are waiting, waiting on you. We are waiting, Lord, on you. We have come into your presence, seeking you with all our hearts. We worship you and glorify your name. In this moment our petition is to know and love you more, and is our desire to see you move again. We are waiting on you. Nothing else but your touch will do. We've come to seek your face, to know your grace. We are waiting, waiting on you. We are waiting, Lord, on you. We now kneel before your throne, praying that your will be done. We wait upon an answer to our prayers. With our humble hearts we plead that you will see our need, and it's our desire to hear your voice again. Lord, speak again. We are waiting on you. Nothing else but your touch will do. We've come to seek your face, to know your grace. We are waiting, waiting on you. We are waiting, Lord, on you.
For that beautiful special. Now is the time that we might take a few moments to listen to our brother as he would stand before us and present the Word of God. I hope and pray that your minds and hearts are of such of a nature that those things that will be presented, that you look within yourself to see if God is talking to me. I present to you this morning our brother Hubert Yates.
Thank you for that lovely song, the two of you. I am happy to be here this morning, not because necessarily that I'm speaking, but I'm happy to come and to see each of you. That you have gathered together with a desire and the hope to prepare yourself to be able to live with your Father and His Son in the kingdom of heaven. where you have come to take time out from the world and to meditate upon those things that are essential for the soul's welfare. And not of the physical, but of the spiritual. And of course, that's the most important. That's the most important. This physical body won't live forever, but the spiritual body will live forever. And it's the choices that we make to where that spirit is going to reign from all eternity to all eternity. It's the choices that you and I decide to what we want to do and what we want to follow. I want to start, I guess, when I'm through here, why Michelle will probably ask me, what shall I call your sermon? And, I guess I'm gonna call it what the Lord says when He says, "I'll draw all men unto Me." That's where I want to start this morning. That the Lord's voice is calling to the hearts of each of us, endeavoring to make us come awake and alert to the responsibilities that is ours, to apply to our life, to bear a light for the Lord, to do those things that's essential, to bear fruit, meat for the souls of the children of men. His voice is reaching out to those of the world, wherever they're at, endeavoring to call them home, to call them where they know that it is the Lord's voice that's speaking. And so as we gather together here, I want to start on page 673 in your Book of Mormon. I'm going to start there. I'm going to start in the 25th verse for brevity's sake. He says, "Behold, I have given unto you My gospel." And we know that that's true. We know that He has caused and commanded those through the generations of time to pen so you and I could know Him. So you and I would know what is required of us to be worthy to enter into His holy kingdom. In Timothy, it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's what constitutes Scripture, not that which is given by the inspiration of man nor woman. But the Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. Those things that's essential for our soul's welfare, that's where they come from. That's why Peter tells us that prophecy didn't come by the will of man. But when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, that He might edify one generation after another to the knowledge of the truth, to the beauties of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the knowledge of His holy Son, to the recognition of not only did He teach, but He lived the gospel as He graced this earth in the flesh as an example that it wasn't an impossible task, that we could live the life to such a degree that the cleansing blood of the Lamb could wash us clean. That it was something that could be accomplished. It wasn't a goal that was set for the children of men that's an impossibility to reach. It wasn't a banner to break in the race of life that you could never feel it touch your chest as you went across the line of life to win in the Lord. "Behold, I have given you My gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of My Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. Have you ever felt that Spirit drawing you? Have you ever felt that Spirit reaching out and drawing you to the Lord? That has been instructing you or directed you to a place, or that just filled your heart with joy and the warmth and the power of that love? He says, He come that He might draw all men unto me. But that's only part of the story. And we're going to get into a little bit of it here today. He says that as I have been lifted up by men, even so shall men be lifted up by my Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. He didn't say a few occasionally. He says all men. He's going to draw all men. And this, when he's referring to this as saying all men, that just doesn't mean the gender of a man sitting here in this room. That means every one of you, the descendants of all men. That means every one of us that He has drawn. And that we will stand before Him to be judged. And how important it is that we recognize that we will stand before Him to be judged. And that we're not going to get away from it. It doesn't make any difference what we want to do or what we want to say or what we think or anything. Every one of the whole human family of Adam, and that covers every individual from the Garden of Eden till the time that the Lord comes, everyone is going to stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or evil, of the choices that they've made, of the things that they've done. Every one of us is going to have that. Every one of us is going to stand before Him, whether we want to or not. You might say, oh, I don't want to. You know, I'm a sort of ashamed. You are. We better take that and put it in perspective in our life and in our thoughts, because whether we want to or not, we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged of our works, whether they be good or evil, and whether we have been willing to testify of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of the living God, and testify of Him in our life, the way we live, the way that we do things, by our voice, that we don't use His name in vain, that we don't do those things that would cause someone to turn away from the Lord, but those things that are true and wholesome, and encourage people to lay hold of that rod of iron, that gospel, that word of God that takes us to the tree of life, that in that encouragement they might have a hope, that we bear testimony to them that they would have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And for this cause have I been lifted up, therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And that means filled with the Spirit. In other places, it'll verify that, and I'm not going to go there. But that means that you're filled with the Spirit of God. That means that those are the things that upmost in your mind and in your heart is to be filled with that Spirit, that it would direct your actions and direct your thoughts and the things that you do toward eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That you're filled with that Spirit. You're filled with that love. You're filled with that faith. You're filled with that hope that comes to a knowledge that He lives And then you begin to witness those things in your life. And you begin to see the power of God as you're doing things. And you see those things that when you come and when you're doing things, just like our brother bore testimony the other night about an airplane ticket, you begin to witness the power of God. And the scripture says that all things are possible with him, and indeed they are. There's not anything that isn't impossible. It's impossible to God. He's all power. He's all love and compassion and tenderness and mercy and forgiveness. That's what he is. If we will reach out, if we repent, if we do those things and try to go to him and to follow after the footsteps of his son, he sent him. Remember, he says, my Father sent me. Our Father in heaven sent his Son, our Lord, to teach us the way to eternal life by example and to lay down his life as an atonement for us on the cross. That's what he did. And he that endureth not unto the end, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall repent and they baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure to the end, that means he continues to walk in that spirit. That he walked into that spirit that filled them. That they continue to walk righteously before God. Not give it a hit and a lick for a month or two and then take off for 5 years and then think, well, later on I'll come back because I know he's there. And one thing and another, it's an everyday, that's why he says you take up your cross daily and come and follow me. He didn't say take up your cross yearly or every 5 years and take up your cross and come and follow me. It's a daily work for you and I to battle the enemy of our soul, which we call Satan or the devil or whoever it is. It's a constant effort. It's a constant effort for us to do so. And we have to do it daily. And where do we come out? I can't judge you. So I'm going to ask you to judge yourself as you sit before me this day. If I was to say, well, how do you judge yourself? Like when they're in the hospital, they'll come and they say, well, how do you judge your pain? 1 to 10. Well, how do you judge it 1 to 10? How do you know what 1 is? What do they classify as 1? But what do they classify as 10? But how do you judge your spiritual being this morning? You have to judge yourself. Don't judge the person next to you. Judge yourself. How do you judge yourself? Will you get an A plus? Are you a minus E? What are we? How do you judge yourself? How would you judge yourself from 1 to 10? Would you say, boy, I'm 10. I'm up on the mountain. How? You have to judge yourself. We have to judge ourselves because we have our own free agency. We have the right to choose whether we want to be a 10 or we'll be satisfied as 3. We have that right, and we're making that choice. We're making that choice in our everyday of life, whether we're going to be shooting for the 10 or if we're higher up or if we're down low and don't care and just go on our own business. We have to do that ourselves. We have to think and we have to look at it and say, where are we? Where am I? If the Lord came today, am I satisfied with the work that I've done? If he judges me, is my work for righteousness greater than that of evil? Would I be all right? Would I be willing to look upon his face with a smile? Or would I be ashamed? We're judging that ourselves, each one of us. We have to judge the standard and where we're at in Christ and how we've done things and what we're doing. And somebody else can't do it for us. We're judging it ourselves. We've got to make up our mind where we're at. And we've got to make up our mind, are we satisfied where we're at? Or do we need to work more? Do we need to draw ourselves closer to the Lord? Do we need to reach out unto him? Do we need to hold his hand? Have we turned loose? Have we loosened our grip? Do we loose our grip to the point where we no longer hold the hand of our Lord to have Him to lead us and to help us and to help us go and to pick us up when we need it, to encourage us and to strengthen us? That's something that you and I judge. And we have to judge ourselves. Where are we? What are we doing? Are we in the process of drawing ourselves closer to the Lord? Or are we satisfied? You know, years ago, I heard my dad preach a sermon, and he verified the fact that we're sort of like a canoe, and we're paddling a canoe up a river. And just as soon as you quit paddling, you don't stay in one place. You start down. Just as soon as you quit paddling, you start down. Just as soon as you let that hope, just as soon as you let that thought that, well, I'm doing pretty good, I'm okay now, so I'm just, you know, I can just sort of ride along and just sort of coast along. You can't coast. You can't coast. You have to continue to paddle. You have to endure to the end. You have to endure till the Lord calls you home and you lay down. This old flesh, it's something that you have to continue with. It's not something that you can just put off and come back years later and say, well, I'll pick it up now and go on. Do you realize if you've done that? I'm not saying you can't repent and you can't come back to the Lord if you come back 5 years later. But I'm going to ask you something, and you're the only one that can decide in yourself, how much joy, how much happiness, how much peace have you lost in that 5 years if you would have stayed with the Lord? How much? How much have we lost? How much have we missed? How much of the things that we could have known and understood that we don't today, and now we have to start, and one thing and another that we could have had behind us, and the experiences that we could say, listen, brother or sister, I experienced thus and so. And you know, you might laugh and say, ah, horse feathers, I don't believe that. But you can't take away the spiritual experiences that you have. Can you, Dwayne? Doesn't make any difference what anybody says. They can't take them away from you. Because you know that you have experienced them, and you know it's done by the power of God. It's done through His Son, even Jesus Christ. Let's go further here. I'm still reading in the 29th verse there. He says, endure to the end. Behold, Him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I stand to be judge of the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also honed down and cast into the fire, from whence there can be no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which He hath given unto the children of men. Listen to them. There's no mediocre proposition here. It's either we do or we don't. There's nothing here that says, well, you know, well, we'll just, you know, he can just slip by, you know, we'll get the shyster lawyer and we'll figure things out. There's no shyster lawyers there, because you're talking to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We're talking to the individual as we stand before Him that knows your very heart and your very thoughts. He knows my heart and my thoughts. Even now He knows. And we can't hide from Him. That's why it's something, that's why it's a personal thing that we have to decide. Where are we on that number 1 to 10? Where are we? And are we satisfied of where we're at? Or are we still trying to reach a higher note? Are we still trying to climb that mountain and reach the peak? Or are we satisfied? Or do we say, hey, you did a pretty good job the other day, so you know you can coast for a little while. You really can't. You might go by a whirlpool in the river too with your canoe, but you can't stop paddling, because you do, you're going to go right back. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a constant effort and work. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Bingo. No unclean thing can enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's a challenge to us, brothers and sisters. No unclean thing can enter there. That means that we have to work for that number 10. We have to work for the position that His blood will indeed wash us clean. We have to work for that. We have to work towards that end every day of our life. And we have to endure to the end in it. And for this cause, no unclean thing, in the 32nd verse, he said, therefore, nothing enter into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. This is Christ talking, incidentally, in the Book of Mormon. This is Christ speaking. He's talking to us. He's telling us that He's talking to us today. This is His Word. These are things that He caused to be written. He's talking to us today. Just exactly like if He was here, only thing would be with a greater authority. But He's talking to us today, each one of us. He's telling us about that. Each one. This is His words. And now this is a commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye do also. Bingo. And he says, you know what you're supposed to do in the church. He says, the things that you've seen me do, ye shall do also. Plain and simple and direct. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. If we do those things, that we would be lifted up at the last day. I'd like to take you over to the 12th chapter of St. John. And there in the 12th chapter of St. John, I want to start in the 31st verse for brevity's sake. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's telling them that they're going to do away with him. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. How many of you here that have been driving down the highway or the street in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden have your lights go out? Huh? Boy, when the lights go out, it gets real touchy awful quick. What'd you do, Jay? You slowed her down. Started putting on the brakes. okay? Boy, that's a letdown. That's a letdown if you're in your house and there's a storm going and you didn't have a flashlight or a candle and all the lights went out in the house and you stumble and you fall around and you do this and you do that. But you know something? Jay hit it right. If in our life that light, Jesus Christ, begins to go out, we better hit the brake. We better find out what the problem is. I bet you he found out what the problem was. I did. Used to be some of you guys and some of you young fellas, this is past your time, but you had the old dimmer switch on the floor, and when those old dimmer switches went out, you lost everything you had, didn't you? Didn't you? You bet. You lost all your light, and you had to go find out what in the world the cause was. When we lose the light of Christ in our life, we better find out what the cause is. And we better get it fixed. Because if we're walking in the darkness, we're not walking in the light, and we're stumbling and we're following all over the place, and we're not sure where we're going. It's important that we realize that we have that light. It's important that we realize that we hold fast to that light, because it's the one that gives us the vision to know where to go. It's the one that gives us the vision to see God, to see Christ, to know what's required of us. It's the one that gives us the vision of the place that He has prepared for us. Oh, I know, it's hard. We can't really fathom what He's prepared for us if we live righteously. But it can give us the vision of the hope that we have with us. It can give us that vision. It gives us that understanding. And we know that He's the one that has set the path. He's the one that set it. He's the one that has set all the different signs on the highway that tells you what to do. Slow down. There's a curve here. He's the one that sets the sign to stop. There's a railroad here. Or a stop sign so you don't run over somebody else. Christ set the signs of eternal life for you and I in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He set the signs that tells us how to build up our grip to hold tight to the rod of iron so that we can go to the tree of life. He's the one that set those things. He set the signs for us. He has personally walked that pathway. He has taught that rod of iron because His Father sent Him to teach those things. And He says, these things which I teach are not of Me, but the Father which sent Me. Remember what I just read a little bit ago? He said, but My Father sent Me. He sent the Lord, and the Lord taught us what He was to teach us. And He laid down His life like He was supposed to, that we might have life. How can we beat that? How can we come to that? How can we visualize sometimes when you stop and you think about it, to think that He came knowing that He was going to suffer and suffer terribly and lay down His life for us to make an atonement that we might have the opportunity to go live with Him and His Father. That's love. That's love. That's love that He laid down His life in that respect. I'd like to go over to page 314 in your Book of Mormon. Over in the third chapter of Alma. And I'm not going to read it all, but there's a lot of... When you get into the Scriptures, there's hardly a place to stop because of the evidence and the beauties that He lays before us. But I'm going to start here in the 19th verse. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are they saved? He just asked them about them being saved, and they said that they had done different things, and they were singing redeeming love and one thing and another. And He says, on what ground? He says, what conditions were they saved? Yea, what grounds had they for hope for salvation? What is the cause of their being loose from the bounds of death? yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words that were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi, who was and was he not the holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? You know, that's important. You can read all the words you want to, and you can hear them taught and preached and everything, you know. And if you don't believe them, of what value are they? If you don't believe the words of Christ, if you don't believe that it's essential for you to apply them into your life, of what value are they? What good are they? If you don't believe them, then they're not your soul salvation. That doesn't get you there because you don't believe them anyway. And remember, you know, it's the Book of Mormon and the Scriptures that tells you that you have your own free agency. And you know, he says, I draw all men unto me. But he's not going to hold you there. He's not going to grab you by the hair of the head and hold you or twist your arm. It's up to you to whether you stay there. He's going to draw in. He's going to reach out. He's going to call after you. But you know, you don't have to go. You can reject him and go your own way and do your own thing and lose your own life. To lose the soul where it's tormented day and night forever and ever. We can do that. But remember that he has called us. That he's reaching out, he's calling to you, he's calling to me this day to come and to hear, to come and to follow after him. 21st verse, behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi, and was he not the holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in their heart, in his heart. Isn't that something that sometimes we need, is a mighty change wrought in our heart? You know, our brother Don McIndoe preached here not too long ago, and I was able to be here, and he talked about giving the house of Israel a new heart. Remember that, Don? Yeah. A new heart. Something that was taken away from the world and the old trash and everything, but the new heart, that faith and belief in Christ, the Son of God, that they would have a new heart, a new mind, new thoughts, new desires to accomplish, rather than those things of old. That is for the righteousness' sake and for the meat of the souls of the children of men. And Alma here, he was wrought in, and he had a change of heart. That his desire then was to follow after the teachings of Christ. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts, and humbled themselves, and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful until the end. Therefore, they were saved. And this is something that you had read. You know, we could go through here. We could talk on this for 100 years of the different points that are in this place, in these very scriptures. I'm not going to, because I have a way I want to go. But I want you to listen to this, the 27th verse. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren, of the church. Take notice, he's talking to the church. He's talking to us this day. Have ye spiritually been born of God? And you know, that's 1 to 10 you have to ask yourself. Have we been spiritually born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have you experienced his mighty change in your heart? Have we? Ask yourself, where are you? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in this mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourself that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Can we imagine that? Can we imagine the voice of our Lord telling us, come in, because you've been righteous? Can we imagine how our hearts will jump with joy? Can we imagine how we'll be filled with that joy and peace that we made it, that we could go in and live with our God and His Son, our Lord? Can we imagine that? Or do you imagine yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that He will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God and your souls filled with a guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God? You've rejected them. You want to do your own thing. You want to go your own way rather than do the thing of God and go the way of God. It's not a case of do your own thing. It's not a case of going your own way. It's not a case of taking the bit in your mouth and running with it. It's a case of being obedient to the commandments of God. It's a case of being obedient to His Son. It's a case of having desire and struggling and fighting and biting and pulling hair, whatever it takes, need, and to kick, and to struggle to stay. When He says, I draw all men unto me, that we stay there, that we don't fall away, but that we remain there. It's a constant battle. Whatever we want to say or whatever we want to do, we have a constant battle, because like the Scripture says in over there in the first chapter of the second book of Nephi, he says there's an opposition in all things. And if you don't think you have an opposition to your soul, you better think again. Because we all have an opposition to our soul. It has a desire to pull us away from that Christ. To pull us away from the truth. A desire to make us to the point where we get weak and we'll decide, well, we'll just do that a little bit. Like he says, you know, we'll do this a lie a little and take advantage of your neighbors with this and that, and it'll be all right. He'll just say, shame on you when the time comes. You know, He has pre-warned us what to look for. He has pre-warned us of those things so that we would know what is essential for us to do in our lives to be able to hear Him say, enter ye in, my faithful servant, because you have walked righteously on the earth. Each one of these things, my brothers and sisters, are in our ballpark. We're making the decision for, I'm making the decision for Hubert, and you're making the decision for you. So we better judge, and you better judge, and I better judge. Where am I? What am I doing? What is the foremost in my mind and heart and desires? Is it to be rebellious? Is it to go our own way? Is it to do like he said here? We just go and do the things we want and everything else? You know, so oftentimes we see that, and we see it a lot of times. Used to be a whole lot in young people, and now today it's also in older people and middle-aged people and everything else. They're losing the Lord. But you young people in here, you know, I've sat in sometimes and heard them talk, you know, and well, you know, later on down the way there, well, I'll decide to be like I should be, and I'll follow the commandments of the Lord, and I'll repent, and I'll be baptized, and one thing and another, you know, and I'll get myself in order. Did you ever look in the paper each day and see how many young people were killed? They have no time to decide to repent and be baptized because they're no longer here to have their things done in that mortal body. Where are they? Who's to say you're going to live to be 30 years old? Or who's to say that you're going to live to be 20? Or who's to say that you're going to live to be 18 years old? We even have little infants that pass away. It's a daily challenge before us. We have an enemy to our soul. And when we understand and we know and we've heard taught those things and we keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off, where are you? You're in open rebellion against God because you refuse to receive Him. You refuse to repent. You refuse to enter in the waters of baptism and have those sins washed away. You refuse to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you aren't baptized, you're going without that gift. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost comes and touches you from time to time and withdraws. It's not yours to remain with you like the gift is. That's something that you have to remember. How many more days do you have? How many people do you know? And I see it in my own family. My mother had almost 99 years. But there was a time when the Lord decided to call her home. And He did. He called her home. And there's a whole lot of them that doesn't live that old. There's a whole lot of this old world that are dying and going away that they have blown the time. They have procrastinated their time to follow after Christ. They have procrastinated their time to stay with Christ when He says, I draw all men unto Me. They have procrastinated their time to get into the race of eternal life and run with all their might. That they might have that eternal life. That's something that we've got to think about. That's something that you have to think about personally. Because there's not somebody here that can be baptized for you. There's not somebody here that can repent for you. There's not somebody here that can choose to follow Christ for you. Oh, there's parents that wish we could choose sometimes that we could tell our children, you know, follow Christ or do this or do that and everything. But when they're up and on their own, they're making their own decision and they're playing their own game or they're choosing where they want to be in that 1 to 10. And it's no longer in the hands. And Christ and God the Father gave you and I our own free agency. And so He's not forcing us to choose either. He's not telling you, you're either going to choose or I'm going to twist your arm and I'm going to bend your fingers back and I'm going to this and that. He's laid it before you and He says, choose you this day whom ye shall serve. That's in your lap, in my lap. That we've got to make that choice. That we have to set that choice in our mind and in our heart. That we have to look up and know that God is. And that we have to recognize that the things that we're seeing in the world today is the fulfillment of prophecy. And we're going to live through some of that. As a witness again of Jesus Christ our Lord. As a witness again that God of Israel moved upon the prophets of old. Just like Peter said when they were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost that they penned and prophesied those things. It didn't come by the will of a man. Indeed it didn't. To edify us, each one of us, so that as we're trying to decide where we are, that we can look at the prophecies, that we can look at those things that God has caused to be written and say, where am I? Where am I? He says, don't do this. Am I doing it? Do this. Am I doing it? when he goes through, those holy scriptures are to edify us and to teach us. And I know that sometimes we might not agree with everything and one thing and another, but it is the scriptures that tells you that by the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved, because we try to tell you the things to look out for and the pitfalls and those things that would damage your soul, that would lower from 10 down. That's what we're here for. Are we perfect? No. No, we aren't. But we have a desire to see you walk righteously. We have a desire to see you where we know that you have lived the life that the Lord would say, "Enter ye in." And that's important. You know, you might not always agree with people that you have around us or something like that. Is there any of them that you see that you'd like to have them lose their soul? Is there any of them that you'd ever met in your life that you'd like to have them lose their soul? No. No. Everyone, we desire that they would be saved. I know I desire to be able to enter in with my Father in heaven and my Lord and to live there. And you know, I desire that every one of you is there too. And everyone that I see at the grocery store and everyone that I saw at work and wherever I'm at, I have a desire that that soul might enter in and be blessed, rather than being tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you wish that on anybody? How important it is that we set an example. How important it is that they can eat of our fruit and be filled and be strengthened in the Spirit and come up maybe from 3 to 4, from 6 to 8, that we can get them up and help them and to encourage them to follow after the gospel of Christ and not just continue to go on and take a chance that tomorrow they'll go out here and some truck will run over them and kill them, and it's too late for them to make the decision to repent. It's too late for them to make the decision to enter in the waters of baptism. It's too late to do those things. And that can happen very quickly, can it, Kathy? A lot quicker than people ever think. It can happen just like that. Everybody doesn't live to be old. Everybody doesn't live to be old. It's important to what we think. It's important to how we act. It's important to how we treat one another. It's important. It's important to how we treat our Lord, whether we endeavor to follow after Him or to go our own way. Those things are important. I got to get going. Verse 36, "And I say unto you, can ye look up to God in that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenance? I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when ye have yielded yourself to become subjects to the devil?" You think you can? You know, the Scriptures tells us that mercy does not override justice. How can we live an ungodly life and think, well, everything's going to be all right, though. The Lord will save us in the end. The Lord's not going to save you. You're going to save you by repenting and being obedient to the gospel of Christ and then His atonement. And then the washing blood of the Lamb comes upon you. But if you reject that washing blood of the Lamb, if you reject that atonement, of what value is it for you? That's something that you have to think. That's something that we all have to think about, that we have to apply those things to our life. It's no good. It's no good at all. If Matt come to me and say, "Hey, Hugh, give me something to eat. I'm hungry." So I gave him a hamburger. And he looked all over and threw it in the garbage and went on. He left hungry. He left hungry. But I'm here to tell you today that Christ gave for his children a full meal. If we'll but eat. A full meal. If we will but eat. He has prepared what is necessary for our soul's welfare and has caused it to be written, a full meal. But you and I have to devour it. We have to eat it. We have to want it. We have to take it. If it's going to sustain our spirit, we've got to eat of that spirit of Christ. We've got to eat of those things that he has prepared for us that we need to take upon us. To be that righteous individual, to be that light that will glorify him in his holy kingdom. We have to take that upon us. We have to do that. We can't come along and we can't look at things and say, well, I don't know how these lights work nowadays, but we can't say, well, boy, look how bright that light is. There's no light there. There's no light there. But when it's powered by Jesus Christ, the light comes into the lives of the children of men with a candle power that Satan can't quench when it's done in the Lord. Gosh, I just got started, guys, and I have to quit. I want to read I want to read a little bit in the 11th chapter of the second book of Nephi on page 146. I'm going to start in the 39th verse, 142. He says, "Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name under heaven, given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved." And you know, that's something that we need to think on when we're judging this between 1 and 10. That there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved other than this Jesus Christ. I don't care how well you like somebody and you think you need to follow them along, but if you really want to follow somebody and you want to follow them to eternal life, you better like Jesus Christ. You better love him. And you better want to put him in your life and not what somebody else is doing all around you. He's the one that we have to look to. He's the one that we have to hold to. And if we turn loose of him, we've lost. Our light's gone out. You better put on the brake. And you better look for the problem so that you can get Christ back in your life to where that light begins to bear again. You better do those things. I'm going to read the 43rd verse. "For we labor diligently to write to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God." And isn't that what we try to do? You fathers and you mothers that are in this room, haven't you tried to pray and to seek and to ask God to help your children that they would be reconciled to God and be what they wanted, what He wants them to be, that they would have eternal life? You bet. You bet. "For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. And notwithstanding, we believe in Christ. We keep the law of Moses and look forward to a steadfastness into Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sin. Mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and everybody here, do you talk of Christ? Do you speak of Christ? Do you sing of Christ? Do you do those things that those about you would know what they got to do to repent, to come unto Christ? That's our job. That's everyone's job that's within the sounds of my voice. That we set that example. That we talk of Him, we write of Him, we speak of Him, we prophesy of Him. And we do those things so that our people and our children will know Him. He'll be their best friend. That they would feel lost without Him. That they would hunt diligently to find Him. Wherefore we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law, and they, by knowing, 50th verse, the deadness of the law, may look forward to that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. 54. The right way is to believe in Christ and deny Him not. For by denying Him, ye also deny the prophets and the law. How important it is. How important it is that we realize that we aren't to deny Him. That we recognize the fact that we need Him because He is our advocate. He's our advocate. He petitions to God in our behalf. He goes, He's our lawyer, you might say. Or He's our advocate. He makes intercession for us. He desires to redeem us. But He doesn't have that desire to redeem us in sin. The Scripture tells us that He redeems us, all right, but not in sin, but from sin. There's a difference. I know the world says, well, you know, He died on the cross, so our sins are taken and everything. He died to redeem us from sin. That we don't have it in our lives, that we walk righteously. Not to redeem us in sin. Because if we're in sin, it's time for us to recognize it. It's time for us to repent and ask God to forgive us and to change our ways. I'm going to read for closing. I had a lot more I wanted to say today, and a lot more scriptures to bring today. But I'm going to have to stop because of the time. But I'm going to tell you right now, read the scriptures. Pray about them. Take them to heart. How important that is. I'm going to read on page 556. In the Book of Mormon, I'm going to start in the 71st verse. He says, "Remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that He cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words of Amulek spake to Zizram in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem His people but that he should not come to redeem them in their sin, but to redeem them from their sin. Bingo. That he was to redeem them from our sin. These holy scriptures that he has preserved for us was to tell us the pitfalls that destroys the souls of the children of men. That he could redeem us from that sin. Not in sin. But that we would recognize those pitfalls of life for our spirit through the teachings and the directions of our Almighty God and His Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. That we could recognize them and know them. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins. Because of repentance. Because of repentance. Don't forget that word. It's a beautiful word if it's used in proper humility and meekness. It's right. Therefore he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer, unto the salvation of their souls. That he has sent angels to declare the conditions of repentance to save our soul. Have we heard it? Have we recognized it? Do we know that he says, search your soul. Look within you. Do we know how important that is? Do we know how important it is to not procrastinate, to procrastinate following the gospel of Christ, to procrastinate knowing that he draws all men unto him, but he's given you his own free agency to choose? Are we aware of the fact that because of his love for each of us in this room, he allowed them to take his life on the cross to prepare a way, an atonement for us, if we will but receive it, if we will allow him to fill us with his Spirit and exercise that Spirit in the decisions that we make and the things that we do daily. May God bless us to that end, is my prayer.